And this morning, what I want to do, perhaps over the next few weeks as well, is to think specifically about something that we talk about when we talk about strengthening. And I want to talk a little bit about strong foundations. How many people know that it's important that we have strong foundations in our lives? And not going to read it this morning, but those of you who are familiar with the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus' famous sermon, right at the end of what he speaks about, he tells this story about two men. They're two builders, and they built two houses. And these houses, they, in, as Jesus describes them, they may have looked very similar in appearance, but one was built on rock and one was built on sand. And I know there are some engineers in the room who would be able to explain to us more eloquently than I the importance of where you build, but most of us probably can work out, it's pretty obvious, that if we're building our building houses on rock is better than building our houses on sand. Is that okay? And Jesus used this example because it was so obvious. It was clear to people exactly what he was talking about. And in the same way that the houses in Jesus' example would have looked similar, so is the same with us. We can't always see what is in our foundations. We can't always see what our lives are built on. The only way we know is when the storms come. And how many people know this morning that the storms will come? How many people this morning find ourselves in situations which can be pretty stormy? And these storms can come in different forms, can't they? Misunderstandings, disappointments, unfulfilled longings, doubts, trials, temptations, setbacks, and from time to time, even attacks from Satan, the devil. And actually, it's true, success can also be a test. There's also pressure, suffering, sickness, bereavement, sorrow, trauma, tragedy, persecution, and failure. And when the storms come, I don't know about you, but I want to know that my life is built on solid foundations. And this story that Jesus told, part of what he's describing, he's talking about having firm foundations on the day of judgment. We don't talk about it a lot, but there is a day coming for all of us when God will judge us. And part of what Jesus is describing in this story, he's actually saying, well, on that day, for each one of us, will our lives be found to be built on solid foundations, or will they be found to be built on sand? So Jesus was kind of warning the people that he was talking to, this is going to happen, let's make sure that we get things in place and in order. And so this week and next week, I just want to think a little bit about what it means to have strong foundations. There's a verse I want to start with this morning. It's in Colossians 2, verses 6 and 7. Says this, and now just as you accepted Christ Jesus as your Lord, you must continue to follow him. Let your roots grow down into him and let your lives be built on him. Then your faith will grow strong in the truth you were taught and you will overflow with thankfulness. Let your roots grow down into him and let your lives be built on him. And that's what I want to talk about this morning. In the next few weeks, we'll look at a few different things that are foundational, need to be foundational in our lives. And I guess I want to talk this morning about three things which I think are really important questions for us wherever we are. And this morning it's great that I know in this room there's people who are on a journey. We're all on a journey. But there's some of us in this room this morning are asking a lot of questions. Some of us think we've found some of the answers, but actually, if you're anything like me, once you think you've found some of the answers, it only creates more questions. And I find myself constantly going round the circle in learning to understand and grow and know what it means to have my life built on good foundations. And this morning, I want to just think about three things that are really important. One is our identity, our belonging, and our purpose. And I'm going to use a little illustration. I'm going to think about something which was very good news, then going to look at something which is bad news, and then finish with something which is amazing, great news. Is that okay? It's like a good news sandwich. But we won't take the analogy any further, because otherwise whatever you've got in the middle... Anyway. So the first thing, which is good news, is that we, as the human race, are marvelously made. Did you know that? Do you feel marvelously made? Not always. And I don't know about you. I know some people in the room are crazy about technology, but this is I was going to say it's my iPad. It's really a sharing one. It belongs to our family. But this is an iPad this morning. And I guess some of us are used to the technology now, but the first time that somebody put an iPad or an iPod in my hand, I think it was one Christmas morning when I opened up something that was very exciting to me. Any of you who've had a go, any people who've got the technology, our phones, our technology, I know not everybody's into this kind of thing, I understand that, but actually, those of you must have seen the things around. Things like this are pretty incredibly made. The technology, everything that this tiny, thin piece of equipment can do, the information that can be achieved, the things that you can watch, the things that you can listen to, the messages that you can send, the messages that you can receive, the photos that you can take. That's about where I stop. But then other people could carry on, and they could carry on talking about this sophisticated technology that things like this incredible piece of equipment has. And I think most of us would agree that this is incredibly made. But actually, this is nothing compared to the way that you and I are marvelously made. Just think for a moment, if you're not convinced, about the human body for a minute. Do you like thinking about the human body? The intricacy of the way that you and I have been put together. The amazing, even let's just take one little bit. The kidney. It's amazing what it does and how it's built up. The intricacy of the human eye. Do you remember that? Do you remember that lesson in biology when you understood a little bit about? Some people who are closer to that lesson, Zach's nodding. He remembers it because it was only the other day. For me, it was a long time ago. It was a long time ago, that lesson on the intricacy of the human eye. Fingerprints. Does it always blow you away that your fingerprint is unique and different? That must take, I was going to say it must take some doing. God must have, thought, oh, I've got another fingerprint to make. But of course, that's not true. He doesn't have a problem with that. And then if you think beyond that, beyond our human body, think of the wonder of who we are. We as human beings have the capacity to think, to reason, to make decisions. We have the ability to love and receive love. That's pretty complex stuff, isn't it? And I guess you don't need me to talk for too long about the fact that we are marvelously made. Would we agree that together? And if we go right back to the beginning of the Bible, in the first chapter of the Bible, it says this. So God created man in his own image. Male and female he created them. God blessed them and said to them, be fruitful in and increase in number, fill the earth and subdue it. The reason that we are marvelously made is because we are made by God himself, his handiwork. Our original identity is all wrapped up that we are designed in God's image. Don't you think this is amazing? That actually, not only are we impressive to look at, to understand complex beings, but the reason we are is because we are made in the image of God. That's pretty mind-blowing, isn't it? You can't get higher identity than that either, can you? And then goes on to talk about male and female, designed to live in community. In the same way that God lives, we know that God is three parts, the Trinity, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. And where we should belong, this issue of belonging, is in community. It's part of family. We've talked about it this morning already. People have prayed. We've mentioned it. But actually, part of our belonging is the way that we were created. We were designed to be part of community. That's why God made man and woman, and he said it was good for them to be together. And then God gives us the highest purpose, actually says that we are co-workers with him. The reason we are created was to steward the creation, this whole of this creation, for his glory and his fame. Wow. That was God's plan. That was God's purpose. Pretty impressive, right? You can't get higher than that. Us, human beings, made in the image of God, to belong and to have that purpose of stewarding and creating, the stewarding of his creation for his glory and his fame. Well, that's pretty good news. Would you agree? That was the original purpose. That's what God did originally. That's the way that God designed it to be. But not only are we marvelously made, and here's the bad news, of course, we're also fatally flawed. If I drop my iPad, which I'm not suggesting I will do this morning, have you seen people who've dropped iPhones and they have a cracked screen, and people still manage to use them, don't they? I don't know whether that's because they're marvellously made or because they're perhaps expensive to replace. But if I was to drop this iPad and the screen cracked, and let's just assume that as well as that, the hard drive itself malfunctioned, it would still be an iPad, and it would still do some of the things that it was designed to do. But actually, it would be seriously flawed. It would malfunction. It would dysfunction. And we know, those of us who have been around for a while, know the story in Genesis 1, everything was perfect the way that God planned it. But Genesis 3, it's like there was a malfunction. Adam and Eve make the choices that separate them from God, effectively choosing to go their own way. And if you follow this illustration through, it's almost like they stepped outside of God's presence. They were separated from God. So I have to put the original flawed creation inside this case. And it's a black case because it's bad. And if we take an honest look at ourselves, how many people would agree that our inclination is towards selfishness? You know, you only have to look at the news for a while and just see that our world is flawed. You don't need me to tell you that. You know that if we're honest with ourselves, most of us find that our natural inclination is towards selfishness, is to wanting our own way. And that's the fatal flaw. The Bible explains it like this, as you see it on the screen. Romans 3:23 says, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Does that include you? Yes, it does. Does that include me? Yes, it does. Actually, it includes all of us. That's what the Bible says. And so even the people who look like they've got it all sorted and all together, who perhaps seem like their lives are built on the rock rather than on sand. This is true for each and every one of us. The Message translation puts it this way. It says that we are utterly incapable of living the glorious lives God wills for us. And that's pretty bad news, of course. We're separated from God, all of humanity. It's the state that we find ourselves in. It's away from the life that God intended for us. And it essentially messes up our identity, our belonging, and our purpose. And all around us, we can see the symptoms of this, can't we? Let me ask you a question. Do you ever feel guilt or shame when you know you've done something wrong? Do you ever find yourself wrapped up with fear in your life? That's not the way that God originally intended. Do you ever feel unhappy with the way you look? Anybody? Do you ever wish that you were somebody else? Are you ever driven to prove something to yourself or someone else? These are all symptoms. This is all the evidence of the fact that we live in a world that is fatally flawed. All of humanity. Think about belonging for a minute. Do you ever find yourself, I don't know whether it's in a certain place, whether it's work or a group of people or a party, and actually it feels like you are outside. It feels like you're outside of that group. It feels like you don't belong. And the big question of purpose, what are we here for? What are we living for? If you were around a few weeks ago, we talked a little bit about purpose. What is it all about? What is life all about? Last week we had a picture of Andy Murray on our screens. He was playing tennis, wasn't he, while we were here together. It was a great match, I think, but it didn't turn out too well if you're an Andy Murray fan. But this week, I found this quote, another tennis player, Boris Becker, and he was talking about purpose, and he said this. Well, I guess many of us know Boris Becker, been around a while. He got to the top of the tennis world, and he said this: I'd won Wimbledon twice, I was rich, I had all the material possessions I needed, but I had no inner peace. I was like a puppet on a string. And he got to the point where he got so disillusioned with his sense of purpose that even though he was right at the top of his field, that actually he found himself apparently on the brink of suicide. And that's the bad news, that we have been and are fatally flawed. But of course, the good news, the greater news, the amazing news is, and we have to understand this fatal flaw, because if we don't talk about it, then we don't receive the benefit of all that God has done for us. And sometimes I think that as Christians, we're not always clear enough on the bad news. We don't stop, those of us who've been around a while, we don't always stop to recognize how fatally flawed we are. The flawing is fatal. But if we don't realize that, then we don't recognize and acknowledge and even understand all the benefits that we have in God. So, if I carry on with this illustration, it's like, I've got my flawed, dysfunctional, malfunctioning iPad. We're separated from God. But of course, the great news is that Jesus came to show us how we should live. And this is time for the good news. So Jesus came from heaven. And what did he come to do? Well, one of the things he came to do was to model exactly what the human condition should look like. He came to demonstrate for us what it would look like to live a life that was totally perfect and without flaw. If you want to know what the human condition should have looked like, then the answer is to look at Jesus, to study Jesus. He was unique. He was the only man who came to live a perfect life. He showed us what it meant as well to belong to the Father. He came to, he said, the Father is in me and I am in the Father. Came to show us what it means to belong to one another. And of course, he was totally secure in who he was and what he was called to be. But he didn't just come to show us how to live, of course. He came to sort out the dysfunction in our life, if you like. He came to die on the cross. And why? Well, because he had to pay the price. Pay the price for us of turning back on our Creator, turning our backs on our Creator. You see, a price always has to be paid. And the only way the price could be paid was with a perfect life. That's why we sang this morning, didn't we? That song, "This is amazing grace, this is unfailing love, that you would take my place, that you would bear my cross." That's the good news that that's why we sing about it. Jesus paid the price for us. Then he went back to the Father so that the Father would send the Holy Spirit so that the Spirit could be poured out and we could live the lives that God called us to be. That's good news. And that's all true and that's all good. But if we're going to have strong foundations, then of course we've got to do something about it. We can hear this great news and we could do nothing about it, can't we? It's straightforward. If we're going to have strong foundations in our lives, we need to receive and believe what Jesus has done for us. Of course, God didn't just come and say, "I can see you're in a mess, try harder." That would have been one of the options, wouldn't it? But that would never work. And I still meet people today who, even though they've been a Christian for a while, still find themselves trying to do things, trying to work harder to win God's favour and to win their salvation, if you like. But actually, the truth isn't written in that song. It's amazing grace. There's nothing we can do. Nothing we can do to earn God's unfailing love. Our responsibility is to receive and to accept it. So, if we continue with this, with my illustration, if you'll bear with me for a little bit longer, this kind of, if you like, I've got a purple iPad case. Not a very expensive one, but does the trick. And I like the fact that it's purple. Purple actually in the Bible symbolizes royalty, which kind of makes sense. I don't think when we were choosing which iPad cover we had this in mind, but it kind of fits today for my illustration. Because it's almost like Jesus, this is part of my example, so this is the Jesus part of my example, okay? And it's like the separation that we find ourselves, the way that we are, we find ourselves, naturally speaking, separated from God. But what God wants to do, and it's written over 200 times, is actually he wants to take us. And this phrase, which you'll have heard before, some of you, he actually wants to make us in Christ. So this is actually what happens. Ta-da. Actually, what happens to us is we become in Christ. That we are, the Bible talks about being clothed in righteousness. We are now covered. And actually, when God looks at us, he doesn't see us anymore. What does he see? He sees Jesus. So when it comes to Judgment Day, God doesn't look at us and our sin and our separation from God. He actually sees us because we are in Christ, those of us who have made that choice to follow him. That's good news. In fact, that's amazing news. And what happens is, it's even better than that. It's not that the flawed, if I'm using my illustration still, and I'll stop shortly on this analogy, but if we've got a cracked case and a malfunctioning hard drive, it's not that God patches it up. It's not that it gets repaired. The Bible says that what actually happens is that we get a new screen. We are new creations in Christ. It's like we get, it's brand new. And so if you've decided to follow Jesus, then the good news for you is that it's not that you've been patched up a little bit. It's not that you've been improved a little bit from your old state. The truth is that you are made brand new. You and I are brand new creations. Which is pretty good too. And it means, this means everything. In terms of our identity, our belonging and our purpose. As soon as you are in Christ, that's our reference point as we look to our identity. We're not now lost in the confusion that we were before, because all of our identity is found in Christ. Where do we belong? We belong in Christ. What is our purpose? Our purpose only makes sense actually when we find ourselves in Christ. And this is so important, it's so vital that we understand it, which is why I wanted to talk about it first this morning when we think about our foundations. Because actually, if we haven't got this right in our lives, then the rest kind of doesn't make sense. What does it mean to be in Christ? Let's just think very quickly about two or three of those things. Actually, if we are in Christ, it means that we are royalty. The Bible talks about us being royal, part of a royal priesthood. That actually, when God looks at us, when we look at ourselves, we are part of royalty because we are in Christ. What else? We're children of God. We are sons and daughters of God. There couldn't be anything better than being a child of God. If you think about the heir or the someone who's going to represent you as a mother or a father, your children are what they represent you, don't they? And also they're the heir to everything that you have. The inheritance. Well, actually, as children of God, we get to inherit everything that the Father has for us. Because we are in Christ, our Father is now Father God. What an amazing truth, what an amazing reality. I said it before, when we are in Christ, we are new creations. We are also set free. We were spiritually dead, but now we become alive in Christ. We just sang it a few moments ago. We are alive in Christ. It's glorious, wonderful news. And actually, that image of being alive in Christ is very similar to the whole image of baptism. In a few weeks' time, we will baptize. This whole image of going into the waters of baptism and dying with Christ and coming out of the waters raised up and alive in Christ. We just believe baptism is a really important part of our journey. If you're interested in that as an aside, then come and talk to us. There's already people who are going to be baptized on that day. It's going to be fantastic. Ephesians 1:11 says this, and I think this sums up perfectly what I want to say this morning. This is from the Message translation. It says, "It's in Christ that we find out who we are and what we're living for." See, the truth is, outside of Christ, things never really properly make sense. Our identity, our belonging, and our purpose never really make full sense until we find ourselves in Christ. That's why we love the whole Freedom in Christ course, because it just unpacks and it explains in more depth and more detail what it means to be in Christ. We talk about, on the Freedom in Christ course, we talk about the fact that we are significant, we're secure, and we are accepted because we are in Christ. That's all pretty good news, isn't it? The great thing about being in Christ as well is our future is assured. For those of us who are looking for security, there is nothing that is more secure than knowing that our future is assured in Jesus. And in the meantime, as we face the storms of life, the fact that we find ourselves, the Bible talks about, describes it as being hidden in Christ, that actually it doesn't mean that we don't find ourselves in the storms of life. Jesus told us that we would find ourselves in the storms of life. But actually the fact that we are in Christ means that we can know inner peace, assurance and confidence in who we are and who God's called us to be. Colossians 2 verse 10 says, I am complete in Christ. And actually, if we've made a choice to follow Jesus, that is the truth, whether we feel like it or not. The problem is that we live in a physical world, and the physical world is in our face all the time, isn't it? The spiritual realities of who we are in Christ don't always bounce back when we look in the mirror, unless we look in some kind of spiritual mirror. But actually, the truth is that we are complete in Christ. And doesn't that affect the way that we live? If you know that you are seated with Christ in heavenly places, that's another thing it says, seated with Christ in heavenly places. That's our position. That's who we are. That's our identity. And this morning I wanted to make it really clear to us about what strong foundations look like. That actually, if we are, these questions that are around for all of us about identity, belonging and purpose, that actually if we can nail those in our lives, then we build our lives on this strong foundation. But also it makes a difference for the way that we see other people and how we respond to that. So I just got a sense this morning actually that there are some people here who perhaps haven't made a decision for the first time to say, yeah, actually, you know what you're talking about, being in Christ is something that I need in my life. And I said at the start that actually I believe that we're here for purpose this morning. And I believe that's true for each and every one of us. But actually, for some of us this morning, some of these things, they are reminders. Some of these things are fresh sense of, yeah, they're memory joggers for what God has done in our lives. But for some of us this morning, I think it's really, really important. Because for some of us, we haven't made that choice. And as you listen this morning to what it means to be in Christ, I hopefully I've communicated something of what it means effectively to know who we are in Christ.